I'll begin to teach what I've called the gospel according to Ruth. It's going to be interesting, the text of scriptures I will take, because you will think a man who's going to talk about Ruth should read first from the book of Ruth, right? Yes, but I'm going to start first of all from the book of Daniel chapter 6. I'm not doing a step-by-step analysis of the book of Ruth. There are just things that I have noticed from there, which I want us to understand as Christians, that is from the life of Ruth, not just from that book. And I'm taking my text of scriptures. Of course, we'll get back to the book of, down to the book of Ruth, but let's start from the book of Daniel chapter 6. Something you've heard me say again and again. There are 3 points I want to bring up from the life of Ruth. The first one is the matter of faith that works by love. The number 2 is a matter of trust, total trust in God. And the number 3 is the way God arranges the life of those who trust him. Those are the 3 points I want to bring out from that life of Ruth as we study it over the next few meetings. All right, talking about the gospel of Ruth, or the gospel according to Ruth. Now, so remember I said how many things? Three things that I said we are going to study. Number 1 is a matter of faith that works by love. Number 2, faith as a matter of trusting totally in God. And then 3, how God arranges the lives of those who trust him. Because what you will see in the life of Ruth was that she let herself go and God took up and arranged her life. You will see as we continue to read, all of us know the story of Boaz, right? How Boaz married Ruth. There was not an arrangement from the beginning that she should meet Boaz. She stumbled onto the plot, onto the field of Boaz. You know, because you know the story, you unconsciously think, Naomi told her, go there. No, she went to look for food. And she stumbled into the field that belongs to Boaz. And I don't think she knew who Boaz was. It was when she got back home and told the story to her mother-in-law, that the mother-in-law said, oh, that's Boaz. Actually, she's a close relative. I think we should pursue that which God has started. Are you getting my point? So you see, it was God that began that arrangement. It was not Naomi that thought it up. Ruth did not count on it. She counted on something else. Actually, the Bible says that when you're talking about resisting sin, it talked about loving your life, all right? Not loving your life unto death. That's what happened to Ruth. She let her life go off totally. Did not think of anything as to hold on to. And then God ensured that she was settled. Are you getting my point? That's what we're talking about, the gospel according to Ruth. All right, first of all, let's read from the book of Daniel chapter 6. That's where I'm going to begin from. Then we'll tell the story of Ruth again. I'm going to verse 3, but let me just read in context from verse 1. The book of Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says that it seems good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, and that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps should be accountable to them, and that the king might suffer no loss. Verse 3 is where I really want. Said, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And as a consequence, the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Please notice, I think we discussed here a few weeks ago, what made Daniel, all right, distinguished? Let me quickly say something to us again, which is why I read this, and that's why we're talking about Ruth. Now, Daniel was not distinguished primarily because of the skill that he had. That was a secondary matter. He had skill. Daniel was not distinguished just because he was honest. That was a secondary matter, all right? Though he was honest. Daniel was not distinguished just because he knew he had the wisdom and he knew how to interpret dreams and solve problems. That was true. That is, he had those things. But that was not the primary thing. That was a secondary thing. Are you getting my point? What distinguished Daniel was basically the fact that he had an extraordinary spirit. That extraordinary spirit now manifested outwardly. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, when we use the word spirit, you've heard me describe this thing again and again in this place, if you have been listening to me for some time. The word spirit talks about the central point. No, not point now. The central force of your life. That's what the word spirit talks about. Now, please, before I go on, you know, so many things are jamming in my head. I want to try and put order to it, you know. Has it ever happened to you before? Many things are jamming in your head. That's what's happening to me right now. Let me try and quickly put order to it, all right? Press pause where I am right now. What's the last thing I said, in case I forget? Extraordinary spirit. That was what distinguished Daniel. It was a primary thing. And most of the things we know that we talk about concerning him are the secondary matters. That the spirit is that central force that's putting, that's influencing every other thing that you're doing. Put a pause on that. Is that okay? I want to go somewhere else. Quickly open to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. This one, we all know very well. We could, I swear I've just quoted it off head. Now, let's read from verse 24. It said, "No one can serve two masters," the Lord Jesus was saying, "for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason I say, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Then continue speaking about this, and you know the rest of the story. Why do you worry about clothing? He said in verse 28, that Solomon in all of his glory was not as well arrayed as the lilies of the field, all right, and the grass of the field that God takes care of. He now said then in verse 30, "But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, I read these two portions, all right, because that's exactly what Ruth's life, all right, was based upon. And we'll see the principles that was guiding the life of that young woman, all right. Actually, I read the scriptures. I found out that she was very young. One of the translations I used, when Boaz saw her, he said, "Whose girl is this?" That was the word he used. So I was a very young woman, all right, and used the word girl to describe her. All right? But you will see what her whole life was based upon was what he found in that Daniel chapter chapter 6 that we read now, and then these words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Now, before I go on to that, you know, I said many thoughts are jamming in my head. Let me quickly dissolve one of them. They will not go and sit down properly on the matter of Ruth. Yesterday in the morning, some thoughts came to my head, and I said I was going to write an article, and I'll still write it, all right? Some of you will get it to read. And at the same time, I'll post a message, if I circulate that article, I'll post a message, a link to a particular message with it. And that message is the one I preached in a seminar we held here a few years ago, talking about the real faith. All right? And when I was talking about the real faith, one of the things I said was how to assess your life correctly. That is, you want to check whether I have prospered or I have not prospered. You want to check whether I have made progress or I haven't made progress. That's about your life. I said there are principles, all right, to use, and I discussed that then. Now, yesterday, I woke up in the morning, thoughts were coming through my head about it. So I said, okay, let me write this thing because it's very, very interesting. And then later on, in that same morning, somebody called me. Listen to this. And he began to talk about some things that happened to him. And we now began to share. And I said, look, this thing you are saying was exactly what I was thinking about this morning. He said he wanted to, you know, he was thinking about it in the morning, and then he tried to call me. If I sent me a message, I read his message shortly after I had those thoughts. And just to help you, what I told him, I said, listen, I may have thought that I was just thinking those thoughts. But actually, it's because you were about to write me a message. All right? And you wanted to talk to me. And I began to have things to say in response to what you were going to say. I began to answer things that you were thinking about and you were going to call me about. Are you getting my point? And that's what I thought were ideas. I said, actually, in the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. Though the young man is quite a long distance away from here, all right? I said, but in the realm of the spirit, if you are connected with somebody, the person may be in Australia. You've had these experiences before. You just say, now, wow, I don't think when I see this guy, you know, that kind of thing. 2 minutes later, your phone rings and he's the one. Why you thought about him was because he wanted to call you. And in the realm of the spirit, he began to call you before his fingers pressed the button on his phone. Do you follow my point? And that's why you began to think about him. It's happened to you before. Somebody's at your door. You hear footsteps and your mind just goes somewhere. All right? Then you say, who is that? And it's the same person you were just thinking about. It's not because of the way his feet sounded. It's because in the realm of the spirit, you knew he was there. You know, there are people who they spend their whole life developing those perceptions. It's not necessary, amen? It's not necessary, amen? It's not necessary, amen?
Amen?
You live your life normally. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I'm just trying to explain something, a principle to you. That so those thoughts came to my mind, I believe very strongly, in response to what he was thinking and what he was going to discuss with me. And these are the thoughts I just want to share with you briefly. Now listen to this. If you read the book of Hebrews, he explained a principle in chapter 11. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see did not come out of the things that are visible. Now, the point there is this. A man of faith, when he's counting, listen to what I want to say. A man of faith, when he's counting, he counts both the visible and the invisible. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Let me explain it. Practical matter. Once, I bought something. Now, you know what I mean by something? What young boys buy, you know, young men, when they have money. Those days, young men didn't buy cars when they had money. What I'm talking about. Because they couldn't afford to, you know, dream such dreams. You buy a TV, yes, it's a sign of prosperity. You buy a music set, it's a sign of prosperity. You get my point? I don't mean one small shortwave radio. I mean a real bedouz. You know what they call bedouz? You don't know what they call bedouz? You get some terminology. So no, no, no. Let me teach you small slang. Bedouz is, you know, bedouz. Amen. I don't know how else to say it. When you have a music set and they tell you it's 4,000 watts, that's bedouz. When they tell you the thing has surround speakers and when they mount it. Now, in modern days, they now add what they call home theaters. So it has like 6 speakers, then one fat woofer somewhere. That's what they call bedouz. Some of them 10,000 watts, PMPO, peak music power output. That's bedouz, amen? So you know what's bedouz now? I hope you are very much in, you know, we're in tune now. You get what I call bedouz. So I bought a bedouz, that's what I'm saying. So one of those, I bought one bedouz, Pioneer. Now, if you know music, as one of the toppest manufacturers of bedouz. Some of my friends, listen to this, this is where I'm going. Some of my friends say, hey, but these were days when money was tight. He said, hey, very good. At least now somebody will see where his money is going to. That's where I'm going. All that my gist, just to bring out that expression. That this is very good. Now you will see what your money is accomplishing. Are you getting my point? So if a man, a young man, a young woman these days working, after working for some years, he doesn't have bedouz, he does not have a car, he doesn't have a house, and he has been earning plenty, people will start asking, where is his money going? I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. Now, listen to this. A man of faith, when he wants to count, doesn't count the way the world counts. The world wants to, they assess it like this, you have done very well. What do you mean? In the last 10 years, since you moved to this Enugu, or wherever you moved to, he has bought land in the village. Amen? He has bought land in the city. Amen? He has built, he hasn't finished it, but he has put a big queue at the back so he can park in and stop paying rent. Amen? Say amen now.
Amen.
And this, all of these things are counted as a sign of what? Accomplishment. And people who don't have faith, they look at those things also as a sign of the fact that they have made progress. that these are the things I have achieved. Now, let me quickly tell you, that is arrant nonsense. A man of faith, this is how he counts. A woman of faith counts like this. The things that are invisible are also countable. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Therefore, let's assume the total I have spent all those years comes to, let's say, 20 million naira. Somebody say, listen, I have spent 20 million, I have two plots of land, look at the cars I drive, look at the size of house I'm about to complete. You can see that I'm not wasteful. I have been able to account for all that I have earned. A man of faith doesn't look like that. If he has land, good, amen. If he doesn't have, the same thing. Because to him, spiritual things are tangible. Are you getting my point? Spiritual things are what? Tangible. So if his money, he had used it to show mercy, the activities of showing mercy is tangible. I don't know whether you get my point. So he did not buy the land, but he can beat his chest that for those who wrote JAMB and WASC and went to school for the last 3 years, I can confidently say 10 of them I paid. Now, he's not boasting, get my point? He doesn't go around boasting, but he knows where his money went. He's not doing it so that you go and tell somebody, you know how I helped you when you wanted to do a heck. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? No, but at least he can account for where the money went to. He's not on drugs. He does not have illegitimate children. Nobody is blackmailing him. Are you following my point? He does not smoke. He does not drink. For adventure, you are a drinking man. Let me tell you one of the reasons why you shouldn't drink so much. It's a waste of money. So what I'm trying to say is that the man is not saying I drank away all the money. But this is the issue. He doesn't count his life only by the material things he possesses. He has come to understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Listen, life is spiritual. Is that your name, amen? Life is very what? Spiritual. And be careful when you're assessing your life. Don't stand in front of some, you know, that's one of the problems people have in life. My friends have done this. I have not yet done it. I told you once, my mother and I were talking. He said, your friends are building houses now. And I said, and Pastor Banky is teaching the way of success on radio. Both of them are activities. To one man, to one man, it is given the assignment of building many houses so that those who do not have can rent. It's a spiritual reason, business. If you know it properly, it might be your spiritual business. For some people, it's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that's pursuing them around. But whatever it is, I locate my assignment for each season and I assess my life according to that. And listen, this is not about trying to make yourself feel happy. The fact is, listen to this, the fact is that those investments also are tangible. I know what I mean. I said those investments also, they are what? Tangible. Let me modify it. They are more tangible than the physical ones you can see. Because he said, by faith, we understand that the worlds, whatever it is that we end up seeing, first must exist as that which is invisible. Are you getting my point? It came to me yesterday morning as I was thinking about it. So I wanted to write for brethren and help them put value on the things that matter. On the things that matter. I felt like helping brethren understand, the people of God, the value of things that are invisible. Listen, people think that every money you have, you must be able to see, show where it went in what he acquired for you. Crap. Arrant nonsense. If a man does good work, it's a building he's building. I don't know what I hear. I hope you hear what I say. If somebody buys 2 bags of cement and a lays foundation for a house, and I 2 tons of cement, I wanted to say, and I take the same amount of money, 2 tons of cement, I give to somebody who I hardly know, who's desperate. Do you follow my point? Who's about to maybe go to hospital? I don't know the fellow. They just stopped me somewhere. And I know it's a matter of fact. I say, okay, I make a choice. I buy this, lay the foundation, or I give this fellow and help the person that's in need. Or the gospel is being preached. I want to sponsor that one that is coming up. Let me tell you something. Whichever one I make as, listen, I'm not trying to say that you must always do this and not do that. I'm trying to bring out an issue. Whichever one that becomes my choice, whichever one I make as my choice, at the end of the day, it is as tangible as the one that is physical. I don't know whether I get what my point. Listen, if the choice was, I'm trying to get brethren to understand something. Learn to value things that are invisible. You've heard me say it a lot of times. Sometimes I sit down and I realize I'm a very rich man. When I become poor, I'll become as poor as Dangote. You didn't hear me. Yes. Why? It's a simple reason. I have learned to place value on sleep. I don't know what I'm saying. The ability to fall asleep. I've learned to place value on swallowing. Wait, has food ever gotten stuck in your throat? I didn't say bone, food. You chew something, you swallowed it, it got halfway, say, where they go again. It hasn't happened to you before? Normally it lasts for a short while. 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And have you noticed, at least the way it happened to me before, drinking water doesn't help it. You have to be patient and wait for the thing to go down in its own season. If you drink water, it becomes worse. The obstruction gets larger. The distension, the feeling of impending doom gets stronger. If you have ever experienced this, amen. You have. Now imagine this, put in that situation for one day. Not 15 seconds that we're talking about. Not 1 minute. A whole day. I'm a doctor. There are those who are in that situation for months. Okay. It's not food. It's a tumor. It can't be removed easily. The doctor that will remove it traveled. He's coming back next month. There was one man who died, you know. If you want to fall sick, self, devil is very wicked. He made sure that guy fell sick when all the specialists in Enugu traveled. I'm not telling you a joke. I know the man. He's dead. I used to know the man. He fell sick when all the specialists traveled. So it was all the practicing people that used him to practice and he died. The boys that knew the job, they all went for conference in, is it Ghana? One of these West Africa. They all disappeared. I don't know why it happened. One of those rare occasions in which they all agreed to go. It happens though. What I'm going to say is that, so imagine that man, he tells everybody traveled. Sorry. He will, with that thing stuck in his throat, he'll be drooling saliva every day for the next 1 month. I have learned to place value on the fact that I can swallow. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. I have learned it. There are things I place value on. I'm not joking. No. One day, that I've given the gist before. My wife arrived in Lagos. She was coming back from abroad, you know. And she was going to arrive at one odd hour of the day. Maybe something like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And I said, no, don't come out of the airport at that time. It's kind of, you're alone, you know, come on, don't take a taxi. And she wanted to leave on time. I was just thinking, what do I do? I just picked my phone and called Chima. Chima! So almost 12 minutes, we're talking on the phone. That's my wife and I. Okay, what should I not do? I just said, she was at the airport actually, waiting to board. I just said, wait. I just called Chima. Chima, are you asleep or awake? Sam, awake, sir. It was about almost 12 midnight. Tomorrow morning, do me a favor. Say anything you say. I said, you go to the airport, my wife is arriving. Wait for her, pick her from the airport. You take her to Aja. I said, no problem, sir. You know, I hung up the phone. Next day, my wife arrived. She came out. Chima was waiting. You know, Chima is a man. Amen? So stood beside her, made sure she was safe. Now, what am I going to say? I sent Chima a text. I said, I told you I'm a blessed man. You have just proved to me again that I'm blessed. You get my point? That Chima is a blessed. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I just picked my phone and had the strong young man go and escort my wife out of the airport. The next day, she had to come back to the airport or the day after to board a flight to Enugu. Again, the time was a bit odd. She had things to carry. She would go to church. She would do this. I just picked my phone again. Namdi. Yes, sir. Which service are you attending? What do you want? My wife would need to leave the service at so and so time to catch a flight. I said, no problem, sir. I'm in Enugu here. And guys were in Lagos. Listen, if you had to pay for all these things, it's money. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. It's part of my wealth that God has blessed me with people that love me and will do things for me. I value it too. It's part of my wealth. And once I saw a book, I'd been looking for this book for a very long time, the story of John Alexander Dowie. Finally, I hit the book. I don't know, it was the Holy Spirit. My mind just went to it. Go to Amazon UK. Bah, 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 bah. I saw it in the US. It says it's an old book, you know, like collector's item. $250. I said, Abba, wicked people. You know, that kind of thing. If this book was new, it would be like $15. Because it was published a very long time ago. The few people that had it, one guy was selling it for $200-something. I said, how do they pay? I was marking it every day, whether he will change his mind. Something just happened. I just said, okay, go to Amazon UK. I saw it there, £10. Hey! I was rejoicing. But how do I get it? I'm in Nigeria. Amazon UK is not, I don't know how I'm going to pay them. My, you know, card is not so easy at Nigeria then, wasn't. Next thing, I just picked my phone. Called my friend immediately. Pastor man, my friend Uche Bukwe is in UK. I said, listen, I'm sending you a link right now. He said, I'm coming to Nigeria in 2 days. I said, good. I'm sending you a link right now. Buy that book and bring it. He said, I'm not sure they will deliver it. I said, don't worry. Just buy it. Keep it in your house. I will sleep well knowing this is mine. When he finally arrived in Enugu, as I got to the airport to pick him in Enugu here, he put his hand in the pocket and handed me the book. Ah! See dancing. Hey! This is the point I'm making. I learned to value it. Right now, if I say my car, I want people to help me carry it and put it on the road. You know how big it is. You saw it downstairs. You know there are enough people here that will do that for me. If you are not banking, go and stand on the road and say, guys, carry the car. They go, look, you say, hey, are you all right? Do you know how big this guy is? But if I said you wouldn't say that, you see, there must be a spiritual reason why he wants this car carried. I said, I'm a blessed man. Are you following what I'm saying? What am I saying? I'm telling you, learn to value the things that are invisible. If you have spent your money over the last 20 years helping people, and you don't, in quotes, you don't have anything, don't worry about it. Did you hear what I said? Why? Because you are still rich. The man that used his own money to build a house is not richer than you. The one that used his money to buy stock is not richer than you. Because by faith we understand that the things that are invisible are also real. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of what things that we can't see. Listen. Look, be excited. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Because you are indeed very rich. Did I hear an amen? Amen. You are a very rich man. You are a rich woman. Listen, every choice you make because of the word of God has serious value. I don't know what I hear what I said. It has serious value. If you let go of something, because of your conviction, say, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want. Everybody did and they became very rich. The Lord is telling you are richer than them. At least God doesn't just make people feel happy alone. He'll make you feel happy, amen? But that's what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. Eventually, you will find out. People around will find out that indeed you are rich. So that if necessary, if God has to bring physical cash, when you need it, he will bring it. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Yes, listen, you must learn to value that which is what? Invisible. Now, let's get back to the main thing that we began to read, all right? And then we'll begin to discuss it now. The book of Ruth, let's open to that. We'll remind ourselves of the story of Ruth. Don't forget the two portions we read, one from the book of Daniel chapter 6, and the other one from the book of Matthew chapter 6 also. Now let's get back to the book of Ruth, the main thing that we want to look at. Remember, I said three things we are going to see from the book of Ruth, from the life of Ruth. We're not taking a verse-by-verse study of Ruth. We do that on Tuesdays. And we're in the book of Hebrews concerning that. But I just want to see, I want us to understand a number of principles that were manifested in the life of this young woman who became the ancestor, all right, or ancestress, I don't know the correct English there, of David and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read from verse 1, chapter 1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of the son of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Now, because of time, I'll just jump, all right? Verse 3 says that Elimelech died, and then after some time, now after he died, verse 4, the two sons took Moabite women as wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they both lived there about 10 years. Verse 5, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband, which of course you understand, she was what the Bible calls, when Paul was talking about Timothy, he called her a widow indeed. She was old, most likely at this time, about 60 or above, and her two sons were dead, her husband being the first to have died. She was without any support. She was totally alone. All she now had were the daughters that were young women, all right? The daughters-in-law. Now, I just wanted to emphasize the fact that she was a proper widow. And then she arose, verse 6, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, went with the two daughters-in-law and began to return. Verse 8 says, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each one of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as he has dealt with the dead, and as you have dealt with the dead, that is their husbands, and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband, that is, if you're going to remarry. Then she kissed them. They were young, don't forget. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. Please notice from here the arguments that Naomi began to bring up. He said, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Listen to this carefully. What do you stand to gain? That's what she was saying. Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be husbands to you, that may be your husbands? That is, what do you stand to gain? I cannot give you a husband. Return, my daughters, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, will you therefore wait until they were grown? Will you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. That is, her arguments made sense to Orpah. She saw, now please look up here. She saw that there was sense in what this woman was saying. Are you getting my point? That is, as far as she was concerned, there was nothing to gain. You are going? If I followed you, from what you are saying, I will just eventually be as destitute as you are planning to be. Do you get my point? No guarantees. That was what Naomi was explaining to her. And when Naomi finished explaining, it made a lot of sense. She did what was reasonable. Please listen to me. If you are plotting your life, that's what you should do. If you have a lot of sense, if you are very wise in life, please do that. If you are very good at scheming and plotting, making sure that your future is secure, that's what you should do. Because look at this old woman, what else does she have to offer? And Naomi was kind, and she helped them plan their future. And it made sense that they should return. I'm talking about the gospel according to Ruth. Listen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that, listen, as Christians, we must learn to trust that God will take care of us. Listen, we must learn to leave our futures in God's hands. That's what I'm talking about. A reasonable person, a wise man, A wise woman in the affairs of this world will do what Orpah did. Orpah was not wicked. That was just the limit of her faith. But I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, to explain this. If I mentioned this in that particular book, if you've read it, what I'm talking about now is in there. I wrote that book to let you understand something. The Bible says that it is not circumcision or uncircumcision that accomplishes anything, but it is faith that works by love. For a long time, I was wondering what that meant. And one of the things I want to explain to us here again today, listen. Grace, you know, I like talking about grace. Grace is when you live your life in God's hands and it takes you where he desires to take you by his own power. That's what grace is. Grace is when sometimes you act very foolishly. Let me explain what grace is. Grace is the life of Ruth. When Ruth will make decisions, take steps that's of no benefit to her personally, and then God establishes her, so establishes her that her whole life was summarized and placed in the book, in the Word of God. When there was space for only 66 books, they created one space and put her life in there. I don't know how rich Bill Gates is. After many generations, they will forget him. The richest man 100 years ago, people are not sure of who it was. In the Songhai Empire, there was one very rich man. Do you know him? In the Kanem Bono Empire, the richest man in there, can you remember his name? Even the enemies of Jesus Christ know the name Ruth. There's one woman in America, most doctors and most Christians don't like her. Conservative Christians. Her name is Dr. Ruth. Even those who don't claim to be Christians, they bear the name Ruth. Are you getting what I'm saying? No matter how wealthy and how successful you are, after a while, men will forget you. But Ruth can never be forgotten. It's not possible. As long as this earth remains, people will read about Ruth every day. Yet, Ruth never asked for it. That's the point I'm making. Grace is when God takes you to a place that you never asked for. Just because you did things that were simply, let me put it like this, in accordance with his order. Listen, let me tell you something. You can never, let's talk on a natural plane. You can never plan to be the richest man in the world and it will work. There was a time two young men came to the Lord himself and said, grant that we will sit on your left and your right. He said, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't make promises. Just like I preach about Bill Clinton once in a while, he told them, these are the things you need to do if you know you want to be president one day. They said, we can do it. He said, now that you can do it, go and join the queue. I don't know what I heard what I said. I haven't done all, join the queue. The Lord was telling them, it might hit you, it might not. Whichever one you get, take it. Listen, there's nothing to do to ensure and become sure of the fact that you are going to get somewhere great in life. You can't deliberately plot it. Read all the books. Read them. Operate them. Believe them. You know, I don't want to bore you with stories. Big preachers who entered into ministry and were walking their ways for climbing in that ministry. Just as the horizon was clear, they sacked them. There was one young man in Lagos that had those days of Redeem Eric Moore. He used to be called Apapa Parish. It was the happeningest of the happening branches of Redeem in the world. Then they were not even all over the world, mostly in Nigeria. It was pastored by Tony Rapp. In Lagos then, you go see, you don't go, you know, young guys, you don't go to Apapa Parish. Come on, go. You know, trust, there's one guy who did not go bank. I just have this problem with things that are happening. I don't know. That was just my issue. One guy who was walking there, walking tight for promotion, he said the day he was getting ready to move was when they scattered the church and broke it to small, small pieces. He said he cried that day. When I heard the story, I said, oh, foolish Galatian. What am I going to explain? You can't plot anything for your life. That's what I'm talking about, the gospel according to Ruth. That is, Ruth is teaching you this evening, and many days to come, we'll continue talking about it. Where I got to, sorry guys, I did not plan it. Let's get back to our reading. When Naomi made those arguments, Orpah bought the arguments. And that's what every reasonable person should do. I don't know what's wrong with Ruth, but that is what is reasonable. If you had to go to your father for counsel, that's what he would tell you. If you went to your friends for counsel, that's what he would tell you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what they would tell you. But what happened to Ruth? Verse 14 again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. What was her own argument? Verse 15. Behold, Naomi said, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Please notice that. First, she went back to what? Her people and her gods. There's a reason why I'm pointing that one out. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Now, I'm going to stop reading there for a while. We can't read the whole book. I'll tell the rest of the story, which you all know. Of course, they went back home very poor. Somebody say very poor.
Very poor.
Let me prove to you that you are very poor. There's what the Bible calls the law of gleaning. If you didn't have land, you couldn't work to earn money. What you did was to go and follow those who are harvesting. And whatever falls down from their hands, you picked. God was very kind. He made sure he took care of everybody. There was a law of gleaning for those who do not know. When you are harvesting, you are going, let's assume, a row of harvesters. You continue going. God's commandment was that if anything, that once you have finished harvesting one point, you don't go back there. Do you get my point? Let's take the one we all know, corn, all right? Or yam. You dig this heap. Once you move past, if you remember that, it be like, say, something still did that one. It's a sin to go back and collect it. You were allowed to harvest your field only once. And God knew you would leave things behind. What's the concept? Gleaners will come after you. Who are the gleaners? Those who did not have anything. They didn't have a field to call their own. Nobody's hiring them to come and harvest. They will come and take the ones that you left behind. And God said, when you're harvesting, don't harvest to the corners of the field. Just by the way, that's why you must not get value for everything you pay for. You know what I told you before? You buy a computer, don't use it till it's dead. Use your portion and leave the portion for somebody else who can't buy a computer yet. You know, I give you this before. When I go and change tires, somebody came, one day I went to change my tires in camp. I bought 4 new tires. You know, it was with the car my wife was driving, the Jetta. I just went there, okay, tires. How many? Bring 4. Brand new, 4. We paid for the 4 tires. They removed the old ones, put the 4 tires there. The car was there. The money was there. The tires, the tires were there. So they changed the tires. After I was the brother of the 4 old ones. And one guy said, okay, how much for the 4 tires? That is the old ones. How much did I sell it to him? I said, listen, my friend. There are things I do, and God will put me out of ministry. There are things I will do. I will get punished. You know what they call punishment? Beaten. I said, I told the guy, I'm so sorry. There are things I don't do. I packed the tires. There was one man who had eyed my tires before. I went and knocked on his door. Oga, you said if I ever wanted to change these tires, I should let you know. Now I have changed them. Take. Hey! You know that the God bless you he gave me. I'm sure he bought me another set of tires. Go and read my little book. It's out of print now, but when it comes out, read it again. The blessing. You need those God bless yous. You need them. You need them. All right, that just by the way. I like to drop things here and there for people. Learn to practice the principle of gleaning. And the more God prospers you, the juicier your gleaning should be. One day you should finish building a house, decide you don't like it. Toss the keys to somebody. It will happen to you. That's your name, eh? You will finish building and say, this is not where I wanted to live. Someone come, let's make you an offer. I said, for what? I can build 10 of these and don't scratch my pocket. Let me sow into somebody's life. We toss the keys. You like the house? Yes, sir. Take. It's yours. Sir, I don't understand. I said it's your own. Sir, I don't understand. I said it is yours. One, you can quickly practice. If you are leaving one city for another, don't pack all your things. A friend of mine went to a place to go and start a church. He got a well-furnished house with some nice, nice things. Why? The man living there before, when he was living, he decided that you take. Take the rent that's not finished. Take it. The furniture, take it. Freezer, take it. Bed, take it. Fan, take it. The guy packed his clothes, wore them, carried a bag, and waved the guy bye-bye. Suddenly, the guy became an owner of property. I like to tell stories like that so as to encourage people to be a blessing. Learn how to be a blessing. When they go market, you want to buy shirts, all right? You want to buy shirts, and you have money. You want to buy 3, 4 for yourself. Buy 6. 3 of them, your size. The other 3, any size. If you are size 54, how do they grade share? Okay, 17. Buy 3 that are 17. Then buy 1 that is 16. 1 that is 16 and a half. 1 that is 15 and a half. Just buy randomly, and you get back home. Your wife will say, what are you doing with all these shirts? She said, these 3 are mine. These are the 3. I don't know. Just keep on there. Then somebody will enter your house. You look like a 16 and a half. Yes, sir. Yeah, it is yours. That's how Christians are. Amen? It doesn't mean you have to be very rich. That's the mistake a lot of people make. No. Whatever level you are, all right? Whatever level you are in right now, there are things you can afford. After all, you go to buy slippers, don't be so. Bathroom slippers. You buy now. When they go, buy 2 pairs. Keep them for house. Just for the fun of it. That's somebody. One day some boys came to work here. Those guys who made this platform. I remember that I walked in. And the guy was walking barefoot and hammering stuff with nails. I said, hey, come. You are walking with nails. You don't have shoes on. He smiled. He didn't have. So I went back home, brought a pair of thick boots, very strong work boots, thick rubber. Take, wear. Don't come and enjoy yourself while you are working for me. And when you finish the work, go away. It's yours. The Lord is good. It's a good habit. That's what I'm trying to teach you. It's a good what? Christians must learn those habits. We must learn those habits. It's not every time you get on be prophesying. No. Let your works prophesy for you. Let other people prophesy for you. Are you getting my point? Instead of saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm blessed. That is good. We say it every day. But there are times people should tell you, in the name of Jesus, God bless you. Are you getting my point? And that God bless you is engineered by the goodness that you have radiated into their lives. That's just by the way. Let's get back to our message. We're talking about who? Ruth. When Ruth and Naomi got back home, they were poor. They had to go for gleaning. Now, what's the principle here? Ruth went, listen to this. Ruth went to go and glean. Now, before I even talk about that, let me get back to what I was saying. Orpah heard the story, the argument, and she bought it, and she left. But Ruth refused. Why did she refuse? Very simple reason. Orpah was, the argument Naomi gave them that Orpah bought was, what will happen to you? What will happen to you? When are you going to remarry? You are still young. You can get a good husband. Think about it. Think about your future. By the time they finished all that talk, Orpah bought it. But there was a reason why Ruth couldn't buy it. In none of it did Naomi explain what will happen to her, Naomi. Are you following what I'm saying? You have asked what will happen to us. What about you, Naomi? We are young. We are strong. We can even go and look for work. We can trade. But what about you? Naomi didn't give any of those points. Therefore, Ruth couldn't buy it. Her problem, what is going to happen to Naomi? You ask me, why did I read that scripture? Extraordinary spirit. Let me quickly get back there. What made Daniel different? You see, the problem, listen, let's take Nigeria as an example now. I work in a government office. Every day, I told you, because of the a particular part of the hospital I'm chairman, I can approve some expenditure without talking to anybody. That they'll come to me and say, sir, we need to do this. Once the money is not more than 50,000, I don't have to explain to anybody. I put my signature to it, they start processing, and they release the money. One thing I see all the time, somebody say all the time. People always use that opportunity to collect money from government. Now, the problem I have, I was telling someone, I said, how's your work? I said, the problem I have now at work is that the checks and balances put in place by government to stop stealing from government, one, it does not stop the stealing. I told the president, the only thing it does for me now is that it slows down the work of those who really want to work. In my office, there's something I wonder. Yesterday, when I was leaving work, I was almost frustrated. I said, I must find my CMD this weekend and talk to him. I will write him a long mail that, listen, 20,000 naira is not money for us. Are you getting my point? It's not at all. It's not. It is not. If I could take 20,000 and do the thing I'm thinking about in my mind now, all right? It will solve a crucial problem that will improve patient care, improve a lot of things. But to have that thing done, I called one man yesterday. Ah, sir, you know I told you now, we will write a request. Same day we approve, they will raise a work order, they will come and access it, and then after assessing how much it's going to be, they will now put in for payment. Ah, God, I lost that. It's dead on the spot. And in case you want to know, as of today, the Lord gave me wisdom. As I was packing something in my house today, I suddenly saw the wisdom with which I will do it, and I won't talk to anybody. Don't worry. You don't know the details, so I won't bore you with the details. But this is where I'm going to. You know, the problem is that most people have a bad spirit. That's why you put senators in charge of rural electrification, 10 billion naira will disappear. It is electrification for their people. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? 10 billion will disappear. Listen, if you have 2,000 EFCCs, it will not stop. Let me explain something to you. Have 2,000 EFCCs and 1,000 ICPCs, it will not stop. Why? It's a problem of the human spirit. It's not going to stop because even, look, in Nigeria of today, it is difficult to staff EFCC with honest people. Now, the point I'm making is this. I don't want to go into details of how we can solve it in Nigeria, but in case you want to know, all right? What God would normally do at such times, all right? In fact, I was reading the Bible this afternoon, and something struck me. That when he was talking about the strong men of David, he mentioned a number of them, and he will tell you this. Listen to this. Listen to this carefully. In fact, let's quickly read it so that you see what I want to say, so I can get it clearly. I was talking about the strong men of David. First Chronicles. Let me just read from verse 11. And these constitute the list of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, the son of Hikmonite, the chief of the 30. He lifted up his spear against 300, whom he killed at once. Now, please, notice verse 13. He was with David at Pasdamin, when the Philistines were gathered together there to battle, and there was a plot full of barley. Notice the next line, that's what I want to get to. And the people fled before the Philistines. And they took their stand in the midst of the plot, that is he and David, and struck down the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by great victory. You know why I read that? The people fled, but David and one man stood. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, you know what God needs to redeem people? Somebody who will stand. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. All the Nigerians will flee before corruption. They will participate. If God is going to, you know, produce a great victory, it will be because one or two people stood. I don't know whether you are hearing me. If you continue reading, you'll find it. What you find again and again, they will tell you when people ran. But I was studying this area, I was just reading it. It just dawned on me, all right? That what these people will do, all right? Those people that they said are strong men, when everybody will run, they wouldn't run. Are you getting my point? Listen, that is what God will use as a way of changing the nation. Again, I'm leaving my message. Let me get back to the main message I'm saying. The matter of what? Spirit. Why did I talk about that? I was explaining the issue of Daniel and an extraordinary spirit. A lot of Christians, this mistake we make, you've heard the teachings. When you get to your office, all right, be different, be different, be different. But the major problem we have, why we can't, and listen, you can't go to work and say, I want to make up my mind. I am going to be different. So that, what I mean is that you're always looking for ways to be different. If everybody's wearing a blue tie, your tie will be red. Do you get my point? If everybody comes to work by 8 o'clock, you want to show that you are different. You come by 7:30. If they come by 7:30, you come by 7. If they come by 7, you just, that is your own, I just want to be different. But there's a major reason why you will not be different if you're not careful. And that is the spirit that you have. Listen, most of the things Christians do is the spirit of pride. And that cannot make you distinguished. Look, there's a man I know. He tries to be different. But at the end of the day, what everybody perceives is that this guy has a malicious spirit. That is, if he works hard, everybody understands that it's because he wants to make everybody else look lazy. I don't know whether you get my point. If he studies the scripture, let's assume he's a preacher, it's because he wants to make everybody else look ignorant. If he's running fast, his aim is to make sure everybody else looks slow. He has a competitive spirit. He has a malicious spirit. What am I going to explain? Why a lot of people can't, why most of us can't be different? It's simple. Our spirit essentially is the same as the unbeliever that's walking beside us. We come to work, what are we looking for? Money, promotion, I want to build a house, I want to do this one. That is the primary thing. That is what the Bible calls spirit. It is not the time you come to work. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. That is not the primary thing. Those are the secondary things. The primary thing is what is it that is pushing you. And what I've been trying to teach all this while is for Christians to understand that whatever it is that they are working, that's their ministry. So if what is pushing is that, look, it's my ministry to be a blessing. Are you getting my point? It is my ministry to be a blessing. I'm not trying to compete with the guy next door. Listen, I am not here for promotion. Promotion is a blessing. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That is, God gives it to you. I am not here because I want to show everybody, you know, my God is able. You people say, I won't make it. Just watch it. I'm going to make it. No! I always say, God is not confused as to his personality. It does not need you to prove to him that he's good. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? The problem is the kind of spirit that people have. People are talking, how can my faith be great? I'm going somewhere. We're talking about what? Ruth. How can my faith be great? I wrote in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Listen, faith is what the Bible shows us that Ruth demonstrated. Except that Ruth was not demonstrating faith the way you and I understand it. Ruth never at a time turned to Naomi, said, don't worry, Naomi. God is going to work something miraculous. I'm sowing a seed into your life. Just watch it. Just watch it. Never. What was the faith of Ruth? It's simple. Let me do what I can to settle my mother-in-law and let God take care of the rest. I don't know whether you heard me. The faith of Ruth is simple. Let me do what I can to settle my mother-in-law and let God take care of the rest. I said something to you. Orpah said, the Bible says, Naomi said concerning Orpah, that she has gone back to her people and what? Her gods. Listen, what led her back to the company of Moabites, who are accursed as far as the children of Israel are concerned, and led her back to the gods of the Moabites, is simple, her desire for self-preservation. Period. What took Ruth away from the company of the Moabites and brought Ruth into faith in the true God was not because she understood the God of Naomi, but she knew the Naomi of that God. That's why they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said simply to him, in a question, All right? They gave me this question. Which is the greatest of the commandments? And the man said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all of that. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. But there's a second that's exactly like this, like it. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is why, listen, no matter what Boko Haram and suicide bombers want to explain, they cannot tell me they don't know they're not serving the true God. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. When what you are doing, all right, is primarily to hurt your neighbor, you are not serving the true God. You are not. Listen, what made Ruth's faith great was not because she knew how to quote the scriptures. Quoting the scriptures is inferior when you're talking about building somebody's faith. It's inferior to having the right spirit, the spirit that wants to be a blessing to people. Let me give an example. You're a preacher. Some people watch. I like the way T.D. Jakes raises his legs. When he's talking, look at his style. Oh, the way he talks. Then you do your finger like T.D. Jakes' finger. And then you... There's not that. You can't move the way he does. I'm getting an issue. Oh, you go. Maybe you go to another church. Maybe your own. Your pastor did a shift. And he's been... Listen to this. He has been a blessing to you. Now, that's where I'm going. Because he has been a blessing to you, you admire him. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you want to be like him. As a preacher, there's one thing you forget. You're not supposed to be a performer, not a man that goes there to impress people. You are supposed to be one that blesses people with the word of God. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, you will not be effective in ministry if your plan is so you can perform effectively. Listen, you will not grow a big church if your aim is to grow a big church. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. If you get up and say, this church, you go big by force. The church will not be big. Listen, if you preach so that, because people say, if you preach a good message, people will bring more money. Now, listen, if you preach a message with that at the back of your mind, you have the wrong spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, you won't see that money. Please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying. As a preacher, what should you do? It's simple. Lord, how can I be a blessing to people? Do you get the point I'm trying to make? So I sit down and I pray. Say, Lord, you know I'm a preacher. Put a word in my mouth that I'll be able to help people with. If you pray like that and you practice, you know what I mean? That's your practice. That's the intention of your heart. Listen, your own unique anointing will come. There's something I tell people all the time. Ask Pastor T.D. Jakes, who does it sound like? The Bishop Oyedepo you are copying, who does it sound like? Who did he copy to that level? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Ask yourself that this man, did he become what he became because of somebody he was copying? If indeed you say he's the one you admire, he's your mentor, ask him, sir. Of all the men you have mentioned, none of them talk like this. Who did you copy to this level? And the answer is simple, nobody. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? And you will discover also, if you continue to focus, you have the right spirit, eventually you will discover your own voice. People will try to start copying you too. That's just the way life is. Eventually, you will now be the one people want to copy. Where did it start from? Simple. Because like Ruth, you are not thinking of how do I build a great ministry. That is the mistake people make. Listen to me. That is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. How do I build a very great company? Listen to me. That is a gift of God. What is the gospel according to Ruth that we are studying? It is simple. Forget what you are going to personally build. Ask yourself, how am I going to be a blessing to somebody else? Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, the difference between Ruth and Orpah, simple. When the gospel was preached, not only by gospel now, quickly she believed it. go start looking out for yourself. You read my books, many of you here, you've heard me say this so many times, talking about should I say yes? Remember, should I say yes? Listen, when the Lord will say, what is the will of God? What they mean is that which one is going to be a blessing to me? Now, I want to introduce the spirit of Ruth to it now. It is not which one is it going to be, which one is going to be a blessing to me. It is who can I be a blessing to? That's why I put that chapter in that book, How to Find True Love. It said, draw me unto you and let us run together. True love is not the type you find in romance magazines, the man who opens the door for you when you want to step in. He remembers your birthday and sends you flowers. Those things are practiced, amen? Any moron can practice it. Listen, the people who like to snatch husbands and snatch wives, you know what I'm, you get my point. They know how to practice those things. They do. They know how to practice them. So I wrote in the book, I said, true love is a person you can do what? Run with. A young man, a young woman is not looking for somebody to help him or her in life. No. It's somebody to help. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is, I'm the giver. You see, a Christian is what? A giver. I am the giver. I am the giver. I am the giver. That is, I'm supposed to be a blessing to somebody. It is not a Christian attribute to be looking and say, who can be a blessing to me? So, four men say, marry me, carry a photograph to a prophet, pray. Which one of them will be the richest? Are you getting my point? And if you have an ignorant man on the other side, hallelujah. What do you have in the house? One man came when he was preaching. So one day I told the woman, what do you have? Bring it. The woman said, okay, put it beside the pictures. You know, those kind of things. When you have 50,000 beside the pictures, you will see visions. You will see visions, and they will not be the visions of God. Real visions. Though. Go and read the story of Jeremiah, Jeroboam. Is it Jeroboam? Micaiah. Jeroboam, was it Jeroboam? Not Jeroboam. Jehoshaphat, thank you. Jehoshaphat, Ahab, and Micaiah, and all the other prophets. They saw visions, amen? How do we know? Because Micaiah said they saw. Because Micaiah said, I saw the angel, the spirit that came, the lying spirit that came into their mouths. They were under an influence. What attracted that kind of vision to them was the kind of spirit they have had. Are you getting my point? Having produced, the guys had, you know what I mean, money. The guys had to prophesy to suit him. And the prophecies were real. They were genuine. There was a spirit speaking through their mouths. That was why they slapped Micaiah. When Micaiah says a lie, the other guy slapped him. Because he could feel the spirit upon him. When did the spirit depart from me and we say, well, I went to your side? You are saying I'm not... Micaiah said, no vex. Now, are you following? Oh, I'm not explaining. The basic problem is what? The wrong spirit. One of the things I'm not explaining to people is not that I'll go to the office. Hey, just watch this. Sometimes, what you are trying to do is not to be a blessing, not to be a help. You want to collect what I call a bragging point. I go to my office. They know me. They know me that I'm a Christian there. So you go and start Bible study by force. There are wicked people that do Bible study in church, in their office places. They want to be able to come to work and say, "Ah, pastor," to a church. Say, "Pastor, praise the Lord. The Lord is moving." That this is a bragging point. So that next time pastor wants to appoint deacons and elders, he will be one. No, it's true. What is pushing the guy is the same thing. Pride of life. The more I study, the more I'm more persuaded. All right? That pride is one of the strongest doors. One of the best doors, if I'm using the word best, that the devil uses to enter into the lives of people and indeed into this world. Pride. Pride of life. Sometimes colored with spiritual, you know, coloring. Because the pride is being gotten from the amount of Bible studies he holds in the office. Why is he holding the Bible study? It is simple. He wants to be able to tell his pastor that he is doing the work. He doesn't care whether people are believing, whether they are understanding, as long as he holds. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, the first thing I'm bringing out here is this. What made Upper and Root different, all right, was simple. The kind of spirit that they had. That's why I started with Daniel chapter 6. In verse 3, it says that Daniel had an extraordinary spirit, and because of that, he began to distinguish himself amongst the commissioners and the satraps, not because of skill, but because of what? Spirit. What was it that was pushing him? Simple. It was something different. I can imagine that those Babylonians, although that was the time of the Medes and the Persians, I can imagine that they too were like most of us these days. They enter into government office, they must build house. You know what I'm saying? 1 year as a commissioner, he will acquire 10 plots of land in the choicest part of town. Build a house, do all of those things in the first year. That's just the way they were. Therefore, when they want to make laws, the laws had to favor them. I mean, Rocket told me a story some time ago. He went to one particular, let me not mention the state around here. He went to meet the commissioner for housing or one development, a commissioner. Somebody say commissioner. You know what the commissioner is in Nigeria? After the governor, now the commissioners. The deputy governor doesn't have any power. He's the commissioner's next. And he explained to the man, then he was still working in a spring mortgage. He explained to the man how they can help the workers acquire their own houses. Sorry, please, I want to be sure you are following me. He explained to the workers what? To the commissioners, how the state, the workers in the state can acquire their own homes through the help of a government scheme with the bank and the government and the state government cooperating, the federal government scheme with the state government cooperating. He spent hours, you know, preparing and then delivering, traveling, I mean, putting everything together. He spent hours to deliver that thing to that man. He said, he talked and when he finished, the man was looking a bit lost. So the man, when he finished, the man looked at him. So the idea now is that all the civil servants here can easily get their own houses. He said, yes. He said, something is missing. And Roque said, what? He said, you have not shown me what I stand to gain. God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. He said, so in all of this one that you have said, what do I get? You know, you are not used to something, you'll be taken aback. The first one, like, excuse me, sir. Like, you know, for a moment, you want to say, are you a devil or something? In your mind, what you are saying is that, okay, please, are you all right? But on the surface, you know, you can't say that. You have to smile. Praise God. Amen. You go smile. You stammer around a bit. The only answer I had for the man was simple. It will be a bragging point for you, sir, that it was during your tenure in office that these things were done in the state. The man hissed, summarized the discussion, and never followed up on it. For one simple reason, they couldn't tell him there and then what he was going to get. You see the problem Daniel had? If Daniel was that commissioner, he would have jumped to his feet and said, are you serious? Are you playing with me? He said, no. I'm very serious, sir. Are you very sure? Say, yes, sir. Okay, how do we go about it? He will describe this guy. Eh? So you are saying over the next 2 years, I can have about 10,000 of my workers living in their own homes, and they will pay over the next 25 years, and that's all they have to pay? What do we have to do? Listen to me. So that when you are praying, you will know how to pray. That is a major problem we have in our country today. You have men in offices that they are in that office not to be a blessing to you and me. And when I'm praying, I always give them small prayer. What's the prayer I give to them? I don't pray, God, make them repent. What's my problem with an old man and repentance? Let his children, his grandchildren pray that prayer for him. My own is, God, dislodge him, sack him, fire him, send him to prison. Do something, just get him out of the place. That's my own prayer. Whether he repents, let him go to church. I don't care. But as long as on that seat, I told you the other day, listen, one governor, I said, his opponents couldn't open his mouth and say he wasn't doing well and they wanted to campaign. He had to say that, hey, we know his strength, but we'll do better. And the idea, why did he come out like that? I know people who talk to that man.
The simple thing is that, listen, we have to move this state forward. That was the whole thing that was inside his mind when he entered into office. Let me not sit on politics. I'm just saying that so that you know how to pray. If your state is not moving forward, pray it. They will soon sack governor because you prayed. You didn't hear what I said. They will dislodge a governor, remove commissioners, remove all the administrators in the state because of your prayer. I'm just explaining that to you so that you know what is going on. Let me get back to my message so I can close. It was different in Daniel's case. It was different. What was different was the spirit, not the method. Please get my point. The method of governance was secondary to the spirit of the governor. Are you getting what I'm saying? The method that the commissioner will use to execute things is secondary to the spirit with which he's doing what he's doing. I'm talking about the gospel according to Ruth. What was different between Orpah and Ruth was simple. That which they were looking for, that which was their focus. I told you at the beginning, listen, in life, learn how to count things. I'm so happy I started with that. Some people say, I can't understand that man. He was in office for 4 years. He did not even build a house. God said, hey, you are blind. He built houses. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's just that you can't see it. He built houses. He said, where are the houses? Listen, 4,000 of his workers in the state. Now they own their own homes. He may not be living there, but he built the houses and I will reward him for it. Are you getting my point? Listen, what is pushing you is what the Bible calls your spirit. And what is different, what was different between Orpah and Ruth was the spirit of Ruth. Listen, if you have the right spirit, you will go places. What did I say? If you have the right spirit, you will go far beyond that which you ever imagined. Let me end with these prophecies. God's power, listen to me, is currently stored up, looking for who has the right spirit that he might release through. Let me summarize it like that. Listen, if you have been hearing the word of God especially, God has, when I say power now, power is not only like this. The power can be money. I don't know whether you hear what I said. God's power can manifest in capital for businesses. God's power can manifest in jobs that people did not know existed, but is about to raise the next multi-billionaire. God said, no, I'm not looking for somebody who wants to shine. I'm looking for somebody who wants to be a blessing. You know what I mean by shine? Yes, I've gotten a big job. That's why I tell young people, when they give you your first job, stop buying a car first. That car will catch fire. The first job you get, now television you go buy, it will blow. I don't know whether you hear what I said. God didn't give you a job so that quickly you can start chopping life. No. The first thing you must do is to look for how you can be a blessing to people. I don't know whether I get my point. There's one practice they had in Africa, at least Nigeria. I hope we haven't lost it. When you start earning money, they say, go and settle your father, your mother, your uncles, your aunties. And I'm adding my own to it. You know, you left school. Those boys you left back in school, they need settlement. The fellowship you went to in school, they need settlement. It's a spirit I'm trying to describe. You're not looking. God's power is waiting for the person that has the right spirit, who's not just looking for what he's going to get. Are you getting what I'm making? What have I said today? We began to talk about the gospel according to what? Or who? Ruth. And this is a point. I said three things we are looking at. Number one, faith that works by love. Number two, faith that manifests in total trust, all right, in God. And number three, how God settles those who actually trust him. And I would like to really talk about that seriously when we get there. Because Ruth did not plan for what she got. One day she was going on the road looking for food. Then she stumbled into the field of Boaz. She got back home and told the story to Naomi. And Naomi said, yes, God has started something. Though you did not ask to be settled, you will be abundantly settled. Go and read the story. Boaz was one of the richest and most influential men in that area. And that was the person God used to settle Ruth. I hope you got my point today.